IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.
Welcome to the IL Women Podcast. I am Matt Kinnear, joined by Inside of the Cross Women's Editor, Hallie Quillenin. Hallie, how are you doing today?
Good, good. Everything's going well. Busy week ahead, but an exciting one.
How was your weekend this week? You were calling a pair of games and traveling a lot, watched a lot of women's lacrosse. How did that go for you?
Yeah, headed to Philadelphia, called the Drexel JMU game for Lac Sports Network, and then on the heels of that, went down to Elon, North Carolina, spent the night in Chapel Hill before headed to Elon and watched Elon take down Hofstra. And really, I think that what's going on in the CAA right now is what's going on nationwide. Just a lot of battling late in the season, trying to, make that last season push to make a statement for the NCAA tournament committee, try to get into your conference tournament semifinal matchups. Right now, I think that the CAA, in terms of what I saw this weekend, is really one of the most deep conferences out there. Depending who that fourth seed is, three teams have clinched already. I think that it's going to be a battle. I think that when you look at the way that the CAA is shaping up, it's very similar to the way that the ACC, the Big Ten, the MPSF, the Ivy League are shaking up in terms of, I don't really know who is going to take home that conference crown. I think it's kind of, you're throwing darts at a board at this juncture, which is exciting for people like you and me covering the sport.
Definitely. And that battle reaches a pinnacle in two conferences this week and this weekend. The ACC tournament and the MPSF tournament will be this week. The ACC is going to be the focus here today. The tournament starts Thursday. It's going to be in Richmond, and here are the matchups. Your number one seed is North Carolina. They play Duke. That starts the day at 11 a.m. Thursday. Then we have Boston College versus Notre Dame, Virginia Tech versus Syracuse, and Louisville versus Virginia on that first day of action. Hallie, overall, the ACC, how exciting is this conference, and what are your overall thoughts on this tournament?
This tournament is, dare I say Thursday might be the most exciting day to watch lacrosse. I know that it's a full day effort, but if you have time on Thursday, if you're near a computer, if you're near a TV, tune in, because I think it's going to be four dogfights. The way that the ACC has shaped up this year, you look at a number three seed, you look at Virginia, for instance, they're 4-3 in conference. And they're the third seed, this team has battled back from a lot of early season adversity, and they were able to get that stronghold in the third seed position, but they have three losses in this conference. I really think that it's anybody's day, headlined by, number one, North Carolina. They're not undefeated in the ACC. So I think this is going to be an exciting day of lacrosse, really setting the tone for the semifinal and championships ahead later this weekend. And, I think that one thing that, lacrosse fans have to remember is quite often the ACC tournament serves as a little bit of a preview to what lies ahead in the NCAA tournament with some marquee matchups. So it's a nice little tune in to watch these teams tune up for May ball.
And you mentioned if you're by a computer, watch this all day Thursday. It is on ACC Network Extra, which is kind of a subset of the Watch ESPN app. If you go to watchespn.com, you can find those links, and we will have those links to these games on the IL Women's Scoreboard. Also, some regional sports networks will be picking up these games, so kind of be sure to check your listings for all that. Hallie, the first game we'll talk about is the rivalry in college lacrosse, North Carolina-Duke. North Carolina rolled through Duke, just recently, and this is a must-win game for Duke. And people use that term must-win pretty loosely a lot, but this is a legitimate must-win. If Duke does not win this game, they are not eligible for the NCAA tournament. The stakes don't really get any bigger than this, do they?
No, I think that I'm guilty of that. I think I say must-win far too often. But, you know, as you mentioned, this is a must-win for Duke. And after a poor performance, you know, I think that Coach Kimmel and her staff would say that they were not pleased with the way that Duke came out to play North Carolina a weekend ago. They were in a tough spot. You know, they're taking on a North Carolina team that was upset by Syracuse on senior day. So North Carolina is coming out firing on all cylinders, kind of taking out that frustration and that tough week of practice on Duke. But if you look at Duke's body of work, you know, they have wins over Stanford, wins over Elon, Boston College. Their losses, in my opinion, this team doesn't have a bad loss. They just play a tough schedule. You know, credit to Coach Kimmel, credit to the Duke coaching staff, in addition to a really tough in-conference slate that features seven, in my opinion. You know, I know that the rankings have been up and down, but certainly seven top 20 opponents when they take on their ACC rivals. She still continues to schedule a very tough non-conference slate. You know, they do. They play Northwestern. They bring in Elon, and Elon vastly improves. They play Penn. They play Stanford. You know, this is a schedule that is tough, and this is a young Duke team. So I think that some of these games got away from them that they wish they could get back, and they sit 8-8 on the year. So this is gut check time to the nth degree. And I expect North Carolina to certainly come out as the number one seed and showcase why and flex those muscles. But I really expect Duke to come out and give it everything they can, which is certainly going to be more than a 19-7 loss that they produced a week ago. Do I think Duke is capable of the upset? Absolutely. I think that Maddie Crutchfield is one of the best midfielders in the country. Kira Harney is a very talented quarterback back there. You know, I think that where Duke needs to come out strong is on the draw circle and really eliminate Sammy Joe Tracy's ability to dominate. And they have that ability with a player like Olivia Jenner. So I think they have all of the pieces to put together a strong effort, an upset effort. And of course they have that driving force that, you know, if they don't produce a win on Thursday, their season is over. So they have that in the back of their mind, which I think that causes some teams to break, but some teams to step up. And, you know, let's see what Duke can do. I think they're certainly capable of stepping up.
So, Hallie, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but say Duke beats North Carolina and loses in the semifinals of the ACC tournament. That's obviously a huge win for your resume, topping the Tar Heels. Duke would finish the season at 500 and eligible for NCAA tournament selection. How comfortable would they feel on Selection Sunday if that's how their season ends up?
You know, comfortability come Selection Sunday, it's going to be tough for any bubble team, any team that thinks that they may have put together a good enough resume, because it's been such an up and down year. You know, you've seen teams like Colorado, Virginia Tech, Elon really surge into the college lacrosse landscape this year. So, you know, no longer can teams kind of sit there and think, well, you know, I think my resume is good enough as it stands. But if you're Duke, now you have a win over the number two team in the country, sorry, number two, three in the polls. Certainly, I think North Carolina is still the number two team in the country. But in North Carolina, when the NCAA released its RPI rankings, they were actually top of the totem pole there. So, you know, I think that if Duke were to produce a win over North Carolina, and even if they don't win their semifinal matchup, they still remain 500. I think that win pushes them over the edge and they should be in the tournament. And when you look at their losses, they don't have a, you know, what the NCAA committee and what people consider a quote bad loss. They don't have a bad loss. You know, they lost to Virginia Tech early in the season when Virginia Tech wasn't necessarily ranked, but Virginia Tech has gone on to remain in the polls for the bulk of the season. You know, Virginia Tech is a very good team. You know, and then they have wins over Stanford, which I think is a huge win looking back. They have a win over Elon. They have that win over Boston College, which was a pretty convincing win early in April. So they certainly have what I consider three quality wins in those teams, and their losses are all to teams ranked in the top 20. And I think that there's a number of teams that are really in that predicament this year that will be on the bubble, that sit at 500 or very close to 500, but that's just going to show how competitive the college lacrosse landscape has been this year.
And obviously, that's assuming that the rest of the country doesn't have any bid thieves of some upsets in conference tournaments and things like that. As we know, anything can happen these final 2 weeks of the season. But Hallie, North Carolina, you said you still think they're the number two team in the country. They just lost to Syracuse. Do you think that this is their tournament to lose? That they are the clear number one favorite in this tournament? And if so, how far is that gap?
I certainly think they're the clear number one. I think that Syracuse put together as close to a perfect game as they could have against UNC on Senior Day. I think Senior Day is definitely one of those games that can kind of get away from you, too. You know, there's a lot of distractions, a lot going on. Your family, your friends are in town. And I think that that's likely what happened down in Chapel Hill that day. You know, Syracuse took advantage of that. But you look at you break that game down. Syracuse's freshmen outperformed North Carolina's seniors. And that's rarely going to happen in tournament time. You know, I think that that's when your upperclassmen, that's when the seniors on your roster really step up and shine because they want to keep going. I think that this North Carolina team got a taste of what winning an ACC championship was like last year, and they want to do that again, and they want to enter the NCAA tournament as strong as they could and certainly win in the ACC will likely, what I consider, to project them to be the number two seed in the NCAA tournament. I think that if you look at the body of their work, what they've been able to do against fellow ACC teams, Syracuse has really been the only ACC team with that loss that's come close. You know, certainly Louisville put up 11 goals. Boston College put up 13. Boston College is probably the other team that's come as close as Syracuse in arm's reach. But they've really had cruise control on through the ACC. I think that the Syracuse game was a hiccup. UNC is far and away the front runner heading in to the NCAA tournament. And you look at their seniors, and that's really the reason why. You know, Molly Hendricks, Sydney Holman, Sammy Joe Tracy, Carly Reed, Kaylee Waters, Carly Davis on defense. I think that this is going to be a tough matchup. They're facing a Duke team that needs a win, and they're going to play like they need a win. But North Carolina is certainly in the driver's seat for this quarterfinal matchup, and in my opinion, semifinals and championship too.
Moving down the bracket, the 5-4 game, number 5 seed Boston College versus number 4 seed Notre Dame. That game is at 2 p.m. It will be following the North Carolina-Duke game, and the winners of those two games will play each other in the semifinal rounds. This is a rematch of a game that was just held 3 days ago. Boston College beat Notre Dame 16-10. Kenzie Kent had 5 goals and 2 assists in that game. Sam Apuzzo, 4 goals and 1 assist. Hallie, these teams obviously know each other. They just met. You know, they saw each other. It will be less than a week that they had matched up against each other before playing each other again in this ACC tournament where the stakes are higher. How does that change the mentality and the matchup of this game?
You know, it was funny. I was talking to Coach Halfpenny actually prior to the team's trip to Boston, and she had projected that she thought maybe the way that games had shook out, there was a good chance that Notre Dame would be playing Boston College again. And, you know, I think that this game is going to come down to starting strong and putting this last weekend's game completely in the rearview mirror. These are two very talented teams. I think Boston College got the best of Notre Dame, certainly over the weekend. BC is a different team with Kenzie Kent as its leader, and she certainly showed that. You know, 7 points, and she's a month removed from her hockey season ending and not even being on the lacrosse field. I mean, she's just such a talent. You have a player that's able to take over a game against a very strong Notre Dame team with All-Americans at every position, and she hadn't picked up a lacrosse stick in months. She's just such a strong player, and I think that BC, when Kenzie Kent joins the team, which this is the third year running, they're a different team with her. And, you know, if you're a coach on the opposing team and you drop BC in the ACC tournament, you're kind of like, oh, darn. You know, if you're a coach that got a win over Boston College earlier in the season when Kenzie Kent wasn't there, I think you just kind of cross your fingers and you're happy that you were able to pull out that win. I think Sam Apuzzo is the perfect complement to Kenzie Kent. It was a shame because when Kenzie came back last year, Sam Apuzzo had already, sustained her injury and she was out for the remainder of the season. So it's been nice to watch them play together and their chemistry continue to rise there. So I think BC definitely has the momentum coming into this game. But when you're playing a team that has Courtney Fortunato in her senior season, looking to go out as high as she possibly can, leading the way, not many teams have that. You know, Courtney Fortunato was the number one recruit coming out of high school. She certainly lived up to that billing. She fell just short of making the U.S. World Cup roster. I think that she was one of the last cuts off that offensive unit headed to England this summer. This is going to be a dogfight. I think this is going to be a lot closer than the weekend game. And I think that Courtney Fortunato is the leading reason why. You know, she was held relatively in check, one goal, one assist in that game. I've watched Notre Dame play, and I think that they're so unselfish, and she's so unselfish, almost to a fault. At this time of the year, you really want to see Courtney Fortunato step up, and I think that she tries to share the ball, and she tries to involve other people in the offense. But I think that, you know, if she's being face guarded, if she's kind of getting denied the ball, she needs to get herself going. She needs to get herself open. She is this team's driving force. When she starts putting goals in the back of the net, they are calmer. I think they play better lacrosse. And when she starts doing that, you know, she's drawing doubles, she's drawing face guards, she opens things up for her teammates. But I think she's this team's calming presence. I think she needs to get involved the way Kenzie Kent got involved over the weekend. And if they both remain as go-to as they've been, I think that this could be a fun matchup, you know, BC versus Notre Dame, but watching Kent go head-to-head with Courtney Fortunato.
And you talk about Kent's impact. It's amazing. She's played 5 games. She is already the number 5 leading point scorer for BC. She's tied for number 2 in assist on the team in just 5 games, when everyone else has played 17 games. So if that's a phenomenal month, if that's not a phenomenal month, I don't know what it is. That's pretty incredible for someone who just got off of a Division I high-level hockey season.
Absolutely. And I think with someone like Kenzie, like, you almost, I mean, she is hands down one of the best attackers in college lacrosse. I would argue probably top 10. And in that conversation, you would think that she would produce All-American accolades. But every year there is that, you know, juggle between, well, she only plays 2.5 months of lacrosse if they make it to Memorial Day weekend. Does that deserve an All-American nod? I think that there's kind of a conversation with how to handle this award as it pertains to Kenzie in particular, because she's so talented. When she hits the field, she's unstoppable, but she only plays half the season.
Moving on to the next game in this bracket, it is the number 7 seeded Virginia Tech versus number 2 Syracuse. This game is scheduled for 5 p.m. on Thursday. And when you look at the regular season, Syracuse won this game in overtime, 12-11. Really close matchup, obviously. Virginia Tech is a team that maybe this game means a little bit more for them because they're on the bubble, where Syracuse seems pretty much locked up for their NCAA tournament bid. Hallie, what's your take on this game?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned, you know, I think that Virginia Tech, their body of work reminds me a lot of Duke's. They don't have that bad loss. You know, they haven't lost to a team that, quote unquote, they shouldn't have lost to. You look at their losses, JMU, Elon, North Carolina, Louisville, Syracuse, Notre Dame, Virginia, the latter 5 all coming consecutively through March and April. But 3 of those ACC games decided by 1 goal. So I think if you're the NCAA committee, you look at the wins they've produced. You know, they beat Delaware, they beat Duke, they beat Boston College. I think that they have the quality wins, certainly, you know, ranked wins over opponents to get into this tournament. And their losses, I don't think, are bad. And I think that in their losses, You know, I know that there's no such thing as a good loss, but I think that so many of their losses are good losses. And they can certainly take solace in the fact that they were in the driver's seat for Syracuse. They were leading. Syracuse had to come back. And I think that Virginia down the stretch, Virginia Tech, rather, knows that they can play better against Syracuse. I think that this is going to be a tough game. You know, conversely, you look at Syracuse, you're the number two seed in the ACC tournament. And aside from North Carolina, I don't know if there's a team you'd rather play less than Virginia Tech. You know, this is one of those teams that this is not going to be an easy game by any means for Syracuse. Syracuse really put together a late season push in the month of April, 5 straight wins through April play, Duke, Loyola, Virginia Tech, UNC, and Cornell. The latter two, you know, top five, top 10 wins that really boost Syracuse's at-large resume should they not win. I think Syracuse is a lock. If they don't win the ACC tournament, I don't think they have anything to worry about. Virginia Tech on that bubble, so they might be playing with that edge. But Syracuse coming off a loss against Louisville, where a lot of things went wrong. I think the reason you've seen Syracuse's season kind of take that roller coaster trajectory is because they're very young. This is a team that relies heavily and mostly on freshmen and redshirt freshmen. You know, they are led by Riley Donahue. Nicole Levy has been sidelined with injury. You know, she came in that game versus Louisville, but in a very limited capacity. Taylor Gates been sidelined with injury as well. And they've relied heavily on the production of their freshmen and their redshirt freshmen through the midfield, and certainly Asa Goldstock and Nett. So freshmen go through growing pains. At this time of the season, you'd like to think they're not freshmen anymore. But once you hit post regular season, and once you hit tournament and playoff, I think that's where the freshman tendencies creep in a little bit, because this is unfamiliar territory. So if you're Coach Gate, if you're Syracuse, you want your freshman coming out getting a strong win over Virginia Tech, and that'll come with consistency, and that'll come with limiting Virginia Tech's options, limiting them on the draw, you know, trying to take Tristan McGinley and Christine Moscalzo out of their rhythm offensively. They're very strong 1v1 threats. And, you know, I think this will be a battle, much like the first two games. But this is really the first game where confidently I just, you know, it could go either way. I'm not quite sure the way that this game could go.
Side note, Hallie, when you were at Syracuse, were you in the Big East the entire time you were there, or did you play in the ACC tournament as well?
No, I was Big East all the way. ACC, gosh, that came a few years after I left. I'm aging myself here a bit, Matt, but yeah, these rivalries are new to me. You know, certainly the Notre Dame rivalry is something that we always had in the Big East, but, you know, we were playing Georgetown, we were playing UConn, Rutgers, Loyola was in the Big East when I was at Syracuse. So it's definitely a different conference makeup here. You know, I don't even think I played Virginia Tech when I was in college.
My, how things change. I think most of those teams you mentioned that were in the Big East have moved on to somewhere else,
yeah.
And everything has changed. But another team that's fairly new to the ACC is Louisville, and they are the number 6 seed in this tournament. The nightcap of the day on Thursday, they are playing number 3 Virginia. And you talk about teams that you want to play going into the ACC tournament. Momentum is such a big thing. When you get to this postseason where it's not always which team is most talented, but it might be which team just has a little bit extra in the tank, and which team just has the momentum and all the little things that they can do, the drive to get into that NCAA tournament. Louisville is a team that just beat Syracuse this past weekend, 9-8. So they got to be feeling pretty good that they can come into this tournament and beat anybody in front of them. They beat Syracuse. Syracuse beat North Carolina. Louisville's got to be going to this thinking, why not us?
100%. I couldn't agree more. And you know what? You look at what Louisville's been able to do. You know, Louisville has been getting my vote in the media poll the last few weeks. But you look at its body of work, you know, heading into the ACC tournament prior to that Syracuse game, they lost to Denver. They lost to Notre Dame, lost to BC, Northwestern, North Carolina, Virginia. They had that win over Duke. They had that win over Virginia Tech. But both Duke and Virginia Tech really tiptoeing the top 20 threshold they needed a statement win heading into Selection Sunday time and trying to bolster their resume should they not win the ACC tournament. And that came in spades. They beat a very hot Syracuse team that just came off upsetting the number two team in the country. You know, I think that Louisville with the Syracuse win can breathe a little bit more. But certainly, you know, nobody's a lock. You don't want to leave any questions next to your resume because you don't know. You know, one thing you mentioned in our open, you don't know. You don't know if Rutgers is going to go and win the Big Ten tournament. You don't know if Harvard is going to go and win the Ivy League. And that will certainly shake things up if a team like Maryland and a team like Penn State or Princeton and Penn and Cornell have to, you know, eat up an at-large bid. So you want to keep your destiny in your own hands. And if you're Louisville coming off a Syracuse win, I do think there's a bit of a mentality, you know, why not us? We just beat Syracuse. Syracuse just beat North Carolina. Certainly none of these ACC games that Louisville has played in have gotten away from them. You know, you look at the loss to Notre Dame, a two-goal loss. That loss to Boston College, three goals. You know, North Carolina, four goals. Virginia, three goals. And taking on Virginia, you know, I think that so many of these teams in the ACC, just because it's so competitive, have been hot and cold, a little streaky. I think Virginia is certainly one of those teams. You know, Virginia opened the season with a loss at Elon. It took them, you know, they almost fell to Richmond. You know, it was a one-goal game there. They had that big lead over Syracuse and relented to where Syracuse won by a goal. And they didn't really wake up until mid-March when they throttled Notre Dame. So I think that this is an up-and-down team, certainly been more up than down late in the season. But, you know, a three-goal game last time they met, which was just a couple weeks ago, I think that this could go either way. And, you know, this is a tough day for Louisville and Virginia. They have the 8 o'clock game, which is the latest game of the afternoon. They're going to be watching or certainly knowing what's going on in all three prior games. And, you know, then they have to turn around. They're the late game, 8 o'clock. They probably won't be in bed, whoever wins this game, until midnight or after midnight. They have to turn around and play on Friday. So there's not much rest for the 3 and 6 seeds, whoever advances, which I think that could be either. But this is probably the toughest position to be in because I think this is going to be a very tough game. Neither coach will be able to rest their legs and rest their big guns for a quick turnaround on Friday.
As you mentioned, Virginia beat Louisville on April 15th, and they've had quite a good run. You know, we talked about Louisville coming into this tournament on a high note, but as you mentioned, Virginia as well, late in the season. Two losses in April that were quote-unquote good losses. You know, they hung with Maryland. It was a 16-11 loss. They hung with Penn State, a 12-8 loss, then beating Navy, Louisville, and Virginia Tech heading into the ACC tournament. So another team that's got to be feeling at least pretty good about itself coming into this critical weekend of college lacrosse, the ACC tournament. But moving to the other coast, the MPSF tournament, Hallie, this tournament is also this weekend, April 27th through 30th, so Thursday, Friday, and Sunday will be the format of this: quarterfinals, semifinals, then the championship game. At least on paper, this feels like three teams have a legitimate shot to win this tournament. Is that true?
Absolutely. You know, I think that unlike the ACC, the quarterfinal matchups aren't as hot as the semifinals could be. You know, you look first game, Stanford versus California. Stanford likely in the driver's seat in this one. And then the second game, Oregon versus San Diego State. I think that this could go either way, but I really like the way the Oregon coaching staff has come in, changed things up in Oregon, and the way that they've been playing against the MPSF. I think they've put together some very strong efforts. In my opinion, I likely see Stanford-Oregon moving on, and that sets up a Stanford-Colorado rematch. Now, you know, you're Colorado and you're USC, and you get a first round bye. So you get to rest your legs. You kind of get to watch the landscape, see how everything shakes out. You know, certainly Colorado and USC, more so USC, they're in contention to host the first round game in the NCAA tournament. So I think a win for either of those teams, you know, if you're USC and you win out, I think that you're 100% a lock to host a first round game. And if you're Colorado, you're kind of tiptoeing that line too. I think a win over Stanford and a win over USC, two quality wins, especially that USC win, you could push to host. And that would be a historic moment for Colorado. But neither of those teams, you know, USC, Colorado, neither need to win the MPSF tournament to get in to the NCAA tournament. You know, you look at the resume that both have put together. You know, Colorado, I think the win that lets you know how good this team is that win over Penn State in early March. I know it was a long time ago, but they bounced back. Penn State was leading, and they exploded in the second half. They won 16-11 handily over the Nittany Lions. They were dominating the second half. You know, they lost to Stony Brook. They lost to USC late in the season. Stony Brook, a top three team, in my opinion. USC tiptoeing the top five, so that's not bad. You know, they don't have any bad losses. They have multiple quality wins, really, that Northwestern, Denver, Penn State, and Stanford. You know, they beat Stanford before. Should Stanford, you know, advance to the semifinals? You know, I think Stanford, USC, Colorado, those are the three teams you were referencing. I do think that those three are likely the top contenders. Stanford is the only team, in my opinion, that not only needs to win the semifinal, but probably needs to win the tournament to get into the NCAA tournament. You know, they opened their season with losses to Denver and Duke after they beat UC Davis. They lost to Colorado, they lost to USC, but the one loss that I think really hurt Stanford is that Yale loss. So that's kind of that bad loss. And then you look at their win, they don't have a win over a top 20 opponent. So, you know, should they beat Colorado, that does give them that win. They're on the bubble. They kind of do play that risk of, you know, I wonder what else goes on in other conferences. I think that they're certainly capable of beating Colorado. I think they're very capable of beating USC. You know, they're coming off a 3-0 loss to USC. This is a talented team. I think if they can put two wins together, you know, obviously not I think, they will win the MPSF tournament. If they can put those semifinal and championship wins together, it's tough, though. You know, they're playing a tough opponent in the first round, and they would then advance to play a Colorado team that was able to rest its legs. So easier said than done. I think USC, Colorado, NCAA locks, regardless of a win. Stanford, in my opinion, not only needs to, you know, win its first two games, that quarterfinal and semifinal matchup, but likely needs to win the championship as well. And then you have Oregon that can certainly throw a wrench in plans. You know, Oregon has probably one of the most talented young coaching staff in the country, and certainly able to throw a wrench in plans. You know, this is a team that has a 4-goal loss to Stanford. Game got away from them a little bit versus USC, but a close call to Towson, a relatively close call to Colorado. I think they're right there scratching at the door, and they are the West Coast next breakout team. Question is, can they break out this weekend?
It should be exciting. As you mentioned earlier, make sure that if you're at work, you can get some headphones and watch all these games Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. The MPSF tournament will be live streamed as well. We'll have those links on iowomen.com. Hallie, I know you'll be watching all this week and all this weekend. What are some of the things that readers can expect to see on iowomen.com?
You know, relatively, you know, obviously, in addition to this podcast, we'll be putting up some in-depth looks at first-round matchups. Myself and Dave Vatz will kind of be breaking it down in our opinion, what we'll be seeing, some key players to watch, and also that post-coverage, you know, that coverage coming out of these quarterfinal games, setting up semifinal championship matchups, what do those look like? And then also in a wider scheme, you know, you look at the Ivy League, you know, four teams headed to the Ivy League tournament have been decided. The seedings have not. The CAA, it's, you know, still a dogfight, kind of who that fourth team in is going to be. So in addition to the ACC, the MPSF action, keep an eye on what's going around, you know, the rest of the country in additional conferences and what will set up a very, very busy weekend next weekend, in that, you know, the bulk of the conference tournaments in the country will be played next weekend, ultimately culminating in Selection Sunday. You know, we're almost there.
And Selection Sunday, you will be a big part of that as well, helping out with the NCAA broadcast of the bracket. And all of that will be on iowawomen.com, all the analysis, all the coverage. An exciting time, and can you believe we're almost in May? We're almost to May Madness right now. I can't believe it.
I can't believe it. You know, you and I were speaking last week, and you really do. You know, you look forward to the beginning of season, especially as you're in that winter lull, December, January, not much going on, and you blink, and February, March, and April are gone, and May is just around the corner. Every year, I feel like I'm asking you, how does this happen? But your spring, understandably a bit busier than mine with a new addition at home, there's been much more going on. I feel like this season's probably been a blink of an eye for you.
It definitely has, and I wish I could blink my eyes in order to get to sleep, but I am not getting much sleep with a newborn at the house. But it has been fun to watch lacrosse this year, and I can't remember a year in recent history where the women's lacrosse landscape was so much fun to follow. Some new teams. You got a breakthrough team in Colorado. You've got an ACC tournament coming up that's really exciting. I can't wait for the final month of the season. All right, Hallie, I think that's going to be it for today. Everyone, be sure to follow Iowa Women on Twitter. Go on iowawomen.com and find the Epic scoreboard to get links to the live streams of all of these games, and we will be back with the podcast next week.
Iowa Women Podcast, the source of her sport.